This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and I'm here at Soundplay Projects. They're an arts charity based in Glasgow city centre, and they develop projects in collaboration with young people who face physical, neurological and social barriers, including blind and partially sighted young people. Through interactive workshops, creative sessions and events, they blend technology, art, music and play to make multi-sensory experiences. It's led by visual artist Ewan Sinclair and musician Bal Cook, who joins me here today. Hi, Bal. Thanks so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're in your space in Glasgow. Can you talk us through how Soundplay began?
We were both working for a care organisation in Glasgow called Sense Scotland. I was working there as a freelance musician. Ewan was the artist in residence. We were working quite separately there, and we were introduced by the arts manager, who realised that we were using sort of some similar technology to sort of facilitate these sessions. We were working with people with like a really, really wide range of needs and abilities, and, you know, making music and making art with them. And it was a lovely place to work because it was a great sort of testing ground to try stuff out and like work with like a huge wide range of people who are sort of natural experimenters. So everything that you tried would like you'd have to sort of be very open to trying, being adaptable and trying different ways of approaching. And like, so technology was a really like useful tool to kind of adapt things that we were doing to make it more accessible. So we started working together there, and we worked on a project where we made some digital instruments that were accessible and open to anyone to play. We both like loved like electronic music, dance music, and that those sort of sounds, and we realized that they were quite inaccessible. Getting into like, you know, the software or like hardware synths is quite a steep learning curve, or they're not accessible physically or even like sort of cognitively to figure out how all those sort of things work. So we want to try a way, find a way of making those sounds accessible to a much wider range of people. So that's what that project was about, was making things that kind of created crazy electronic sounds in lots of different ways and using materials that were like accessible. So we used bungee cords and cardboard boxes and all sorts of things that people liked the materials. We started off a lot of the time with materials, and then took those and adapted them using various bits of tech to create music. And then also Ewan was using projection quite a lot of the time, so we found that it was like a really like powerful way, a multi-sensory approach to sort of making music. We sort of formed this sort of bond where we both realised we had like quite different skills, but very complementary. And then we wanted to apply it to sort of a project that was our own.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of input do you get from the people that you work with to help lead to creating the installations that you do?
So yeah, I guess our approach is always sort of like play-based. Our workshops would be like quite open to start off with, like really like playful, and oftentimes not maybe focusing on the technology to start off with. It's more to focus on a sound or a material or a particular texture or something that people will engage with, and then sort of building on from then, just seeing what ideas are led from that. So, and then always bringing things back again to sort of test them out. There's quite a few different ways we'll work in those workshops. Occasionally, we do have a new piece of tech, and we take that in and see if it can be used, and then figure out what's sort of wrong with it in a way, or what's the inaccessible part of it, and then like work backwards from there to think, right, well, if these little controllers weren't so tiny, then maybe people could actually tweak those sounds, and people don't need to be able to do this certain thing with that bit of technology, but so we can scrap that and just make that simplify this thing. So we've made a few instruments that are like that, where we've kind of simplified the idea of, say, a sequencer or a drum machine, and we've just made it a much, much simpler way of interacting with those sounds. And then there's other things where we've started off with what senses we want to work with. So we worked with quite a lot of people who were deaf, blind when we worked at Sense, and we also had the idea of making something that, you know, could work as a sound or music workshop in that context. And that's what sort of led us to work with sort of vibration and vibration speakers. So again, that just built up from using little commercially available vibration speakers, which we would just take into sessions, and we would see how people would use those, just give it to somebody and just see what happens with some sounds coming through it. And from then, gradually add in our own stuff and gradually build something more bespoke and just keep testing it. And I guess that's it. We could try something, take it away again, change it a little bit, bring it back. So it's kind of like a sort of circular process of something will be suggested in a session. We'll try a little prototype, bring that in. If it doesn't work, then we'll tweak it again. So just keeping, everything always feels like a bit of a work in progress, really. It doesn't feel like anything's ever completely finished. And so the sessions are like vital in terms of like keeping to create new work.
And are there any major bits of feedback that you've got from blind and partially sighted young people that stand out in your memory, or blind and partially sighted parents, about how something could be a bit altered to be more accessible and interactive for them?
When I was talking about those vibration things, yes, that's sort of evolved into a sound system which is built into beanbags, and that is sort of, we call it the sub-bass soft space, and it's like, we call that a horizontally aligned sound system, so you can lie down on those things. But I guess one of the sort of feedback from that was to make a version where you could have it held. So that's a little bit more tricky because you have to make it wireless and stuff, and then, but that is something we are working on. But so instead of having to like get out of a chair and lie on it, we do have one where you can put the chair onto the platform and it vibrates to the chair. But that is one bit of the feedback, is like about making something that is like more easily sort of huggable. We have made like prototypes of that. Mm. You can hug it, or it can be like a blanket, or it can be close to you to feel it through your body. That is a really powerful tool, sort of the using vibration, and like skeletal hearing is quite a different way of experiencing sound. And when we've worked with, for example, deafblind young people, it's been like a really beautiful experience to sort of have this moment where a family where caregivers can like they can sing or speak through the bed, so the young person can feel their family's voices through the beanbags, through their like body. And yeah, it's quite a kind of like meaningful experience for everybody.
What are some of the major differences you notice when people kind of first walk in from their normal day and they step into Soundplay and get to play around and have all of these different multi-sensory experiences?
One of the nicest things, we do like open days, and we do sessions for like families and open days for like anybody, for artists and, you know, people with small children and caregivers, people with additional needs. But one of the nice things is it does feel like a really great leveler in lots of ways. You see, like, you know, grandparents and parents playing on the sort of same level as their toddlers and babies, and then somebody who does have an additional support need can all sort of play together. And that's the sort of really nice thing. It's like, I guess, something that doesn't often happen. If you're a parent, if you go to a soft play, it's not as if you're jumping in the ball pit all the time with your kids. But here, it's almost like everybody is making music or creating sound in a simple way. And that's the thing, we're not asking that people don't have to be musicians to come in here and make music. We've sort of leveled out the playing field in a way that everyone can engage and have a jam. And there's something really brilliant about, you know, jamming and creating music together. And that's like a really, really nice thing to have, especially like, I think cross-generational seems to be a big thing as well for us. We've made things that you notice, like a middle-aged dad like me coming in and playing with their child, but they're both having fun, like the equal amount of fun, but in quite different ways. Yeah, I think that is one of the sort of unique things about, and in this space here that we're in, the play space, everything's all set up. People can just walk in and it's sort of like instant to engage with it. There's not really any instructions. Everything we make is sort of, we don't ever have like instructions. You can get slightly deeper with some of them and figure it out, but in general, somebody just can start coming in and playing on any level, even if it's just like thumping the switches and seeing what happens. And then if you're a little bit sort of play with it a bit longer, you might start figuring out, all right, this is actually what's happening underneath that.
How have you found the response has been from kind of students and staff in schools where you've taken the experiences?
Yeah, so we've been going to schools for a while now around Scotland. So we've worked in like Aberdeen, Dundee, Paisley, around the central belt, lots of different, and yeah, usually in schools for pupils with additional support needs. The way that we take that out is it's very much like a sensory music workshop, where we're using that multi-sensory approach, and it's very much play-based. It's about creating a sort of an environment where music can happen. And again, a really wide range of like abilities, really, really wide. And so we've created like a kit that sort of works with like every one of those levels of need. I mean, the response is brilliant, and we've worked with like classes where like the teachers have said, well, these pupils will never engage together, like the whole class don't engage in anything like as a class, but they engage with this. And I guess because it's been developed with people with different sensory processing needs, and that's how it's all been developed. So yeah, it is very pleasing for us that does work in all those settings. And I guess the staff are very, very into it. And also they have taken quite a few things away in terms of like some of the software we use, the use of projection, for example. Quite a lot of staff at schools have then invested in that software and started using the projections and stuff in a different way in their class, because they found that that's something that works really well.
What are some of the elements of Soundplay going forward, or some of the newer projects that you're working on that you're really excited about?
One of the projects we're working on at the moment is with a school in Dundee and King's Park School. It was basically through an organisation called Engage in England, and they've commissioned several artists to work with young people to create new artwork. So we're working with a school there, and we've sort of started to develop this sort of system of like calling it autonomous instruments. So it's like little robot-powered, motor-driven gongs and singing bowls, like a sort of sound bath, sort of healing instruments that like use sort of sound healing instruments that are like can be played using like adaptive switches. So the pupils that we worked with really loved the sound of the singing bowls, but they were not able to play them. But they did use these adaptive switches. So some switches are just work by the slightest grip, and some work with like a really, really light touch. So they can use those to play the singing bowls. But also we've made it so that it will just generate itself. It's like a generative like sound bath. So you can have several of these instruments placed around a room, and it will just generate in its own time. It will just play itself. And that's been really quite exciting, quite different for us, because normally we use electronic sounds. This is like using pure acoustic sounds, but controlled electronically. It has loads of potential for scaling up into other things, so it can play a bunch of other instruments, and maybe it could learn what you're playing along with it and play itself. So that we've got kind of quite a lot of ideas, but we're still at the very first stage of that, where we've just made these first instruments. We tried them out with the school, and the people said it really, really responded well to it, because we knew they loved the sounds, and we tried other things out which didn't work, but we knew they loved these sounds, and we knew that they could access it through adaptive switches. And in other projects, I mean, we are touring quite a lot. So we have an installation called the Ambient Arcade, which is sort of, they're video synthesizers that look a little bit like old school arcade units. It's sort of inspired by that sort of aesthetic. And we're taking that to quite a lot of places. And we started doing places in England, which is quite exciting. So we're in Birmingham, and we're going to Leeds, the art gallery. So just being able to take that around the place. And it goes down really well with just, again, a huge wide range of people with and without support needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to learn more about Soundplay, or if they live in Glasgow and want to look at coming along, or maybe see if something is coming to their city, where is the best place for them to do that?
We post everything on our Instagram, which is just at Soundplay Projects, and also on our website, which is soundplayprojects.com. And yeah, if you look at those things or sign up to our newsletter, we do a newsletter. We have regular open days at the play space, so there'll be one coming up soon that people can come along to. We also run artist workshops here, where sort of visiting artists come and give like a workshop around something that's sort of adjacent to what we do. So we have people doing a lot of stuff about sound art or music technology, inclusive performance, that sort of thing. Really sort of interesting artists coming giving sort of workshops around that stuff.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Bal Cook, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Amelia.